Married couples tempted to birth prevention should contemplate long and hard on the fact that the Almighty and all-knowing God has created human nature as it is, and that it is He who has built into the nature of man and woman His own form of birth regulation. When a mother nurses her babies, they will usually be spaced about 18 to 24 months apart. A woman who marries during her 20s, if she and her spouse be healthy, will tend to have from 4 to 12 children. This is God's plan for the control of births. This is the size of family He wants. The Almighty, all-knowing and all-provident God, created human beings without man's advice and obviously in the way He intended. In His own plan, He provides for the new children born into this world. None of us knows for certain if he or she will live out the next half hour, or even the next few minutes, in this uncertain world of ours. Therefore, everything we plan or do requires of us at least an implicit act of confidence in God's all-provident care. What married couple, as they begin their lives together, can ever imagine the future for their family? It is really all in God's hands. Couples with large families marvel at the uncanny providence that seems to care for their needs, often in strange ways. A college professor and a father of 14 once commented, quote, "All I can say is that God gives large families special help." He was mystified but awed at God's providence in the case of his own family. And this experience of God's unusual providence for families is confirmed again and again by married couples who live according to God's law. Obviously, parents of minor children have to shepherd their means and use them carefully. They must avoid spending on non-essentials for the most part, unless they have been blessed with means over and above their needs. They have to avoid, of course, squandering their money on excessive drink, on illegal drugs, on gambling, on expensive non-essentials, etc. And above all, they must avoid all immorality, mortal sins of every kind. Otherwise, they cannot expect God to bless them and their family or to hear their prayers for material help as He otherwise would. Quote, "Now we know that God doth not hear sinners, but if a man be a server of God and doth His will, him He heareth." John 9:31. Of course, God hears and answers the prayers of sinners who repent, or want to, and are trying to overcome their sins, but not the prayers of mortal sinners who are unrepentant and determined to continue in their sin. Quote, "And whosoever shall keep the whole law, but offend in one point, is become guilty of all." James 2:10, emphasis added. For a couple to practice birth control or family planning, as opposed to periodic continence under the legitimate circumstances stated above, is really a form of blasphemy, an insult against God. It is tantamount to telling the infinite, all-knowing God that He did not know what He was doing when He created us as we are, or that He cannot provide for children born to large families. On the contrary, there is a divine wisdom to the reproductive arrangement which He has created. By the time a woman is in her 60s, normally all of her children will be grown and able to function on their own. And when the mother and father are in their senior years and need extra assistance in their lives, usually at least one of their children is able to help the parents in their old age. But if in the process of raising a family that by today's standards would be considered large, a couple has financial or other troubles, they may rightly address Almighty God and pray with confidence and humility in the following manner. Quote, "We have obeyed Thy command and Thy law, O Lord, in bringing these children into the world. Now we are in great need by reason of," here mentioned the specific need, "and we therefore humbly ask Thy help in this grave necessity. Thou who hast said, cast Thy care upon the Lord, and He shall sustain Thee. He shall not suffer the just to waver forever." Psalms 54:23. Married couples should always realize that God holds the whole world and each one of us in his hand, so to speak, and he will take care of us all, as he has so capably been doing since the dawn of creation. It may not be in the manner that we would like it to be, or even that we anticipate. In answering our prayers, he often acts in ways that tend to humble us and to keep us constantly aware of our dependence on him. Better this mode of married life, however, than our becoming proud and losing our souls. Writing about birth control, Pope Pius XI says, quote, "Some justify this criminal abuse on the ground that they are weary of children and wish to gratify their desires without their consequent burden. Others say that they cannot, on the one hand, remain continent, nor, on the other, can they have children because of the difficulties, whether on the part of the mother or on the part of family circumstances. But no reason, however grave, may be put forward by which anything intrinsically against nature may be conformable to nature and morally good, since, therefore, the conjugal act is destined primarily for the begetting of children. Those who, in exercising it, deliberately frustrate its natural power and purpose, sin against nature and commit a deed which is shameful and intrinsically vicious. Any use whatsoever of matrimony exercised in such a way that the act is deliberately frustrated in its natural power to generate life is an offense against the law of God and of nature. And those who indulge in such are branded with the guilt of grave sin. No difficulty can arise that justifies the putting aside of the law of God, which forbids all acts intrinsically evil. There is no possible circumstance in which husband and wife cannot, strengthened by the grace of God, fulfill faithfully their duties and preserve in wedlock their chastity unspotted. Let no one be so rash as to assert that which the fathers of the Council of Trent have placed under anathema, namely, that there are precepts of God impossible for the just to observe. God does not ask the impossible, but by his commands instructs you to do what you are able, to pray for what you are not able, that he may help you." Encyclical letter, Casti Connubii, on marriage, 1930, emphasis added. Here, in a few sentences, the Holy Father debunks once and for all the specious arguments to be found in that great volume of literature which has been poured forth by the modern votaries of immoral birth prevention. All their reasons put together, he says in effect, cannot justify a practice which is evil in itself. Indulgence in such a thing is bound to bring with it evils far greater than its advocates vainly hope to remedy. In fact, the prevalence of birth prevention is probably the greatest social evil in the world today because it directly attacks the family, which is the parent cell of society, and thereby it attacks society itself. And, as many writers have pointed out, the modern evil of abortion is ultimately really only a form of birth control. One who thinks seriously about the Catholic attitude toward birth prevention must soon become convinced of its unanswerable rightness. To the modern world, it seems austere, even impossible, but the modern world forgets that marriage is a sacrament which confers all the graces needed by those who have received it to meet and overcome the difficulties of their state. Is the Church wrong in expecting to find in husbands and wives goodwill, self-control, character, virtue, and docility? Is she out of date in supposing that one marries for reasons other than mere pleasure, more pleasure, and the most possible pleasure? Is she mistaken in making a clear distinction between love and sexuality, and insisting that sex and its allurements have a spiritual side and must be controlled on spiritual principles? Is she to be blamed for harping on the fact that one ought to marry only after a solid apprenticeship of will training, self-control, and sacrifice? Is she out of touch with reality when she tells her children to rely on God's grace for the strength, courage, and fortitude to fulfill their obligations? Is she completely impractical when she suggests that the true religion offers helps as well as prohibitions, and when she therefore urges married people to pray regularly, to practice special devotion to the Immaculate Mother of God, to receive daily, if possible, the bread of angels and the Eucharist, and to cultivate a thoroughly Catholic mind and heart in regard to the glorious vocation of marriage?